It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today as we continue to kind of do a survey of the book of Romans. We've carried out through each verse of Scripture in the book of Romans, and now we're kind of doing just a general survey before we go on to the next study. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and then we're going to get into the 7th chapter as well. So Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check our website out, it's Parkview Bible Church at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies of the Scripture, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, all is very clearly presented there. So please, that you take a look and enjoy that, if you would, please. And then if you'd like to email us, why, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study as we read in the chapter 6, verse 23, and then we're going to move, and again, this is kind of a survey of what we've already studied, and we're going to go over the chapter, or to the 15th verse, and read from there through the 25th verse of the 7th chapter. So, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, if you go with me to chapter 7, verse 15, we're going to back up to verse 11. I decided to include that, even verse 10, I'm sorry. Originally I was going with 15, but this all builds together. "And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be death." That's the 10th verse of chapter 7, now on to verse 11. "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I wanted to read that full section there, and we're going to have a wonderful study today, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy your presence. I thank you for the opportunity to use the radio, that we can get into so many different homes and as folks travel, and just that they can hear your precious word. I want your word, Father, to get into their hearts, minds, and change their lives. Understand the joy and the peace that can that they can have when they know you as their Savior. Now, Paul here is talking about a battle that's going on. Yes, there's a battle between the flesh and between the spirit. But the battle can be won and has been won. And, Father, we thank you that we can just walk each day with you. Now, please, I just ask that you'll guide and lead us through your precious word. Strengthen us, Father. The need for spiritual growth is tremendous. We have so many folks that are saved, but they never go on to the victory. So please today, Lord, help them to move on to the victory. And then, Father, there are multitudes that are listening today that have never come by faith. They may be very religious or not religious at all, but what they need is to know you as their Savior. Know and realize, recognize that you've died on the cross of Calvary to save them and take their sin away and allow them to step into a victorious life. Please, Lord, just guide and lead each and every heart and mind today, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've kind of looked at the words here back in the sixth. It's a very common scripture. If you've ever heard someone present the gospel to you, why they go through Romans 3:23 is one that's very familiar. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you move on to 5:8, but God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then you usually move on into the 10th chapter, and that 10th chapter then starts up in the 8th and 9th verse. But what saith it in verse 8 of chapter 10 of Romans? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are verses of scripture that you hear. People call it the Roman road. Brings you from sin and the gift and on into the plan of salvation. And it is a wonderful message to take. However, I want to share with you that with this verse of scripture that we're looking at today, 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are all excellent scripture verses to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus. But the Word of God, as we proclaim the Word, each and every word, the Spirit of God can move forward into the heart of those that are lost. And maybe it's for you today. We don't have to use the Roman road to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do need to use his word, not just specific words. His word touches the heart. Our God's word, as he has given it to us, his living word, allows the Spirit of God. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son is our Savior. God the Holy Spirit is the one that presents to you, to me, presents to us the opportunity and shows us our sin, shows us, introduces us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then we move and the Lord Jesus introduces us to his Father. Now, it's hard to imagine because it's three separate persons yet one. And so please understand that you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Don't just say, I believe in God, because that's not enough. You need to believe in Jesus. And it's very clear here in this 23rd verse that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Understand, and I'm just going to very quickly, because we've kind of covered this before, and get on into the 15th or 10th verse of the 7th chapter. Sin, it says the wages of sin. And we kind of talked about that, you know, when you work for somebody, they pay you wages. You expect them to pay you wages. Well, sin pays wages. And here's what wages it pays. They pay eternal death, eternal separation from God, eternal separation from everything beautiful, eternal separation from the glories of heaven, eternal separation from all godly loved ones, total separation. And the devil pays. I mean, he pays. Everlasting torment, everlasting misery, everlasting woe, everlasting pain. The devil pays sin wages in fire and in brimstone. Realize that, recognize that. And it is just so, so very, very important. Now, on to the seventh chapter. And again, we started reading at the 10th verse there. And so let me reread a couple of the verses so we can kind of get started. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that is, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, there's a lot of things in there. We're going to take some time. And again, I felt like it was worth review of this area. And so, you know, Paul lived, let's come back here to this 10th verse, the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. That's a strange thing. Well, the reason is because Paul felt like he was fulfilling the law. He thought he was good enough by his works. That thought is held by many, many people, that our works, our ability to fulfill the law to the best of our ability, oh, I can't do it quite completely, but I'm close. Boy, I'm close. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. So I'm close. Close is not good enough. And that's what Paul found out. And that's what we're talking about here. And that's the reason I wanted to cover this area once again, because it is so important for us to see this. And so it says, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Paul lived after the straitest sect of a Pharisee. I mean, he did everything. And let's look at Paul's religion, and you don't find me very seldom quoting someone, but Dr. Schofield had a footnote in the Schofield Study Bible that really explains Paul's religion. He was a godly Jew unto the law. He held himself to be blameless concerning the law. He lived in all good conscience. And we have a couple of scripture verses that's going to back what we're saying here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, the 6th verse. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's exactly how Paul felt. And we can even back up a little bit more in the 4th verse. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as touching the law, a Pharisee. And then verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That is exactly the way Paul felt. He had, and that's his point here. If anyone has thought that you can trust in the flesh for salvation to satisfy God, Paul was it. But this is me. This is me. But I'm going to tell you that is impossible. And that's what we find. So very good verse of Scripture. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Verse 1, Acts chapter 23, verse 1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He felt like he had fulfilled the law. He felt like everything was fine. With his conversion, when it came, new light upon the law entered in, and now perceived it to be spiritual. And that's what we're looking at here in this 14th verse of chapter 7. "For I know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He now saw that so far from having kept it, he was condemned by it. You see, prior to coming to know personally the Lord Jesus, we think we're pretty good. We're doing well. Everything is fine. Yes, I have made a mess of this and didn't quite take care of this properly. And I did do this, but I'm still good enough to satisfy God. No, I was not good enough to satisfy God. You're not good enough to satisfy God. Paul, Saul at the time was his name, but he did not satisfy God. He did not satisfy God in any way. He thought he was, because he was fulfilling the law. He thought he was pleasing and satisfying God. He now realized that he could not, and only because now he has the light of the Lord Jesus in his heart. You see, that's the difference. That's the difference, and you just need to come by faith to Jesus, and then you'll recognize, because I don't want you to be deceived all of your life and all of a sudden come to the point of death. You know, God gives us a day to be born and a day to die, and whenever that day comes, it's not your choice. It's not your choosing. It's no one's choosing. It's God's choosing. You have so many days given you, and whatever that time period is, you better be ready, because when he says, that's it, that's it. Now, he doesn't necessarily say, come home, because if you have not come by faith to him, you can't go home. You can't go back to it, go to heaven. You can't go into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Your only home is going to be the eternal fires of hell. That's what your choices are. You see, I need to help you see how good and how righteous that Paul thought he was, and yet he found, when he came to know the Lord Jesus, when that Spirit of God convicted his heart, he recognized that it wasn't the law, and that's what this is all saying. It's not the law that's the problem. The law's perfect. The problem's me. I can't keep it. I can't keep the law. The law is perfect, and I can't keep it, so that means I have fallen short. That means I'm a sinner. And the more, the day that you meet Jesus, or the day that the Spirit of God convicts your hearts, the day that you're going to see the difference between what you thought was perfect, or at least good enough, and what God expects. The Spirit of God's the only one that shows you that difference. And so please, that you will see that. And again, he now sees how far away he is. He had supposed himself to be alive because he was fulfilling the law. He was satisfied with that. But now the commandment really came when he really found the law, saw the law in its true light through the power and the strength and the eyes of the Holy Spirit. He died. And when Paul went through this, we don't know for sure exactly. Was it right on the road to Damascus when that bright light shined? I think so, because I think when he recognized we've just studied that recently in another study, he didn't know. He didn't know who that voice was coming from, and he asked. And the Lord Jesus said, "It's Jesus. I am Jesus whom you persecutest." And so very, very clearly is that statement made. And then he comes by faith to the Lord Jesus, and he begins to open his eyes and see. He now knew himself to be dead to the law by the body of Christ in the power of the indwelling Spirit. Now, earlier verses in this chapter, and I really didn't like skipping it, but we got to do something, otherwise we're going to go verse by verse through Romans again, which wouldn't be a bad thing at all. But as we look at this, we find that the battle is with the law. And so when we find that the law is perfect, and the only way to satisfy a penalty, in other words, if the law states that I we're bound by the law, but if an event takes place, and say that I put someone to death, I kill someone, the penalty of that is death. And so I face death. Well, when I am put to death, the penalty is satisfied. The charge is gone. You can't charge me again. You can't charge a member of my family again. You can charge no one, because the cost, the penalty, the wages of that, the cost of that crime was death. And I paid that price. And so by me paying that price, I was tied to it no more. I was released from that. And that's what happens the day that we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus died for our sins. He paid that debt. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. He has paid that debt. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, as we find here in back in the 23rd verse of chapter 6, the concern is that you have come by faith to Jesus. Just because Jesus has taken care of it doesn't mean that you have the advantage of that. It is a gift given to you, but you must receive that gift. And if you say, "No, I don't believe it's that way. I think everyone receives that gift. Everything has that gift." If you would come by faith to Jesus today, you would realize that that's not right. That's not true. Because you're going to see and feel and experience a difference when you come by faith to Jesus. Please, please come by faith to Jesus. Trust the Spirit of God as He is convicting your heart right now, and come by faith to Him. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that when the Spirit of God came to Paul, that was the first time now that he has recognized that what he was doing was a total waste of time. It was totally against God. He wasn't satisfying or pleasing God in any way, shape, or form. And the Spirit of God has shown him the true light of the law. And the only way we can see that is through the Spirit. For sin, in verse 11 here, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Taking occasion to make a start from a place, a base of operation. So taking occasion is just that, to make a start from a place, to a base of operation. Paul is saying that sin, taking the commandment as a starting point, an occasion, it deceived me. We didn't know the cost of sin. It says the wages of sin is death, but we don't believe that. We don't believe that, but our God knows it to be true. And when he comes and convicts your heart, he will show you that sin is, it makes us guilty. It puts us to a place of no return as far as our God is concerned. We can do nothing. Paul thought he was fulfilling the law. But what took place is the sin finally has shown him that he was lied to. He was deceived. And you have been lied to and deceived if someone has told you that you're good enough. That your church, because you work very hard, because you were baptized, because you've joined the church and you're on the church council, you've done all these things, and so I'm fine. I'm sorry to tell you that no, you're not. Paul was the greatest of all. Nicodemus is another example. We've got so many examples of religious people that were lied to by men that took the truth and perverted it into a lie because of changing the Word of God, adding traditions, things of that sort. And so we find here that Paul is recognizing for sin taking occasion by the commandment. He thought he was fine, but now that I can see, and see, that's what happens the day you meet Jesus. For the first time, you can see. And so now he recognized, we need to recognize, I need to recognize, you need to recognize that we've been deceived. We've been lied to. And what's the cost of that lie? Death. By it slew me, the 11th verse says. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. So, is the law evil because it condemns us? No. The law is perfect. The holiness and goodness of the law is proved by the fact that the law slays every sinner with whom it comes in contact with. The law's perfect. We're the ones that are not perfect. God has not changed his mind about his law, nor about sin. Sin has to be completely taken care of, completely dealt with, completely removed. And the only way that can happen is not by any works that I can do or you can do, or some preacher can pray for you, or any such thing, any acts, baptism, anything. There's nothing that you can do that can deal with your sin, except coming by faith to Jesus. So I just ask you, please, that you will listen, that you will come, that you will call upon the Lord Jesus. It's so important. And as we enjoy these verses of Scripture, so simple is it. Verse 4 of chapter 10 of Romans, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. It doesn't say that the law leaves. It says the law is satisfied. The law is satisfied because Jesus died on the cross and satisfied that law. He paid the debt. Oh, please. Please, will you just listen to the simple things that we need to do. We just need to believe. The Spirit of God convicts your heart. Please trust today in the Lord Jesus. Call upon him today. Ask him to come into your heart and save you. That's it. Please do. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?